Bonjour à tous.
Good morning, one and all. Good morning. First of all, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Galien Touz. I'm Chief Operating Officer of the Econocom Group, and I'm delighted to receive you today with the new Executive Board of the Group to disclose the results of the first half of the year 2018. Beyond the financial results, we're going to comment on the objectives for the year and the actions that we've put in place that make us confident that we'll be able to reach these goals. We also wanted to take the opportunity that you're all gathered here to give you a focus over two of our three business areas, services that are undergoing transformation right now. And so Laurent Roudil, I can't see him here, but he's with us. Laurent is in charge of our service activities in the French planet, and so he's going to talk about the transformation actions underway. We also wanted to talk about our leasing activities. Well, leasing, rental, I'm looking to my right because Eric Lucas, who's going to present, is here. Leasing activities lead to a lot of questions, and that's normal because we are the only digital services firm that has this know-how. Leasing activities are the legacy activity of the group. We're the French and European leader in this business, and I'm sure that it's a major asset for the Econocom Group, which is now at the core of some market trends, especially the subscription economy. Eric will come back to it. More importantly than figures, of course, there are people, and the men and women defending the group's ambition. They're around us, especially the new executive board of the group, Robert Bouchard, who's with us in the front row. You know him. He was the CEO of the group. He'll now speak as CEO. On the podium with him, you'll have Martine Bayens, who is a general manager in charge of managing our satellites, but also other responsibilities within the group. She'll talk about the offer, especially the so-called transverse offer, as well as David Krief, who joined us in December, who's our chief financial officer. Also in the room, we have Julie Verlingue. She joined us in March to take over management of our activities outside France, so you will be able to ask her questions about after the presentation. For those of you who are worried that Bruno Grossi is not in the room, he's doing very well, but he couldn't attend today, and he tasked me with saying welcome to you. Now, the agenda for today, coming up behind me. Robert Bouchard will start with the highlights and key figures of H1. Then David Krief, Deputy CEO in charge of finance, will give you more results. Then we'll come to the action plan with short-term actions that have a positive impact on our results, especially for H2, but also actions that will build a foundation for profitable growth in the future. Then Robert will come back to wrap up the presentation and give you more details about the 2018 outlook. And then after the presentation, as usual, we'll have time for a Q&A for the executive board and the operating managers in the room today. Robert, the floor is yours.
Merci, Galien.
Thank you, Galien. Good morning, one and all. It's the first time that I'm speaking before you as Chief Executive Officer of Econocom. As you all know, our governance has changed. My father, Jean-Louis Bouchard, is now Chairman of the Board of Directors, and I am myself Chief Executive Officer. My father and I have different styles, but we share the same desire for excellence and the same ambition for Econocom. We see completely eye to eye regarding the values of the group, its entrepreneurial model, its relevance, and the strength of its model. Our governance and our management teams were totally renewed to lead the group I now have beside me the Group Management Committee with Bruno Grossi in charge of M&A and the consulting offer, David Krief for Finance, Investor Relations and Legal, Martin Bayens for Satellites and Transverse, as we call it, as well as Julie Verling, who joined us in March to lead our international business. An extended operational management committee with the heads of the French business, Eric Lucas for TMF France, Laurent Rudil and Philippe Gouillou for P&S France, as well as the country managers Enrico Tantusi for Italy, Angel Benguigui for Spain, Laurent Caparros for Eastern and Northern Europe and the US, Bruno Rons for Belgium, and Louise Beveridge for brand and communication. This new governance, dynamic, cross-cutting, ambitious, thus welcomes new talents who will contribute their expertise to benefit the managers who have built up the group so far. We have diversity in expertise and experience to take up the market challenges that we're facing now. We are lucky to be at the heart of an unprecedented industrial revolution. We're operating in a constantly reconfigured environment. I would like to share three observations with you. First of all, the accelerating digital innovation is radical. It affects all areas. No industry is immune from it. New markets appear every day, every year. Cloud, big data, security, in artificial intelligence, all of them are going to reach considerable sizes. For firms and organizations, the digital transformation is no longer a matter of if, but when. It's an imperative. Now everyone must see how to succeed in this transformation and release such value. Econocom is at the vanguard of this revolution. We are helping companies and organizations think about digital and how to use it effectively. It's a great opportunity. However, the digital transformation may scare some people, especially if they think about examples of missed transformations like Kodak or Virgin. Our role is to dispel myths. It can be a smooth, painless adventure. We need to put ourselves in the final user's shoes, the customers of our customers, the employees of our customers, to understand their needs. My second observation is that end users, yourselves, myself, our clients, the customers of our clients, are the end decision makers. Their demands for immediacy, enjoyable use, ubiquity force firms to find new ways of working. They're facing major issues in terms of change management. Third fundamental trend, paper use is now on the rise. Funding solutions, paper use are now a market demand because it's constantly looking for more flexibility. This is our core model, and this fundamental market trend is a considerable asset to grow our group. Eric Lucas, in charge of our TMF business in France, will say more about these opportunities and the new markets that we want to invest in. Against this market backdrop, which is buoyant, Econocom has major assets. I'll remind you that Econocom has over 40 years' experience, or over nearly 11,000 talented and committed employees. We're present in 19 countries, 7 million in technological assets under management, and nearly 3 billion euros in sales. Econocom also has a unique model with three complementary business lines: services, distribution, and finance, i.e., technological and financial expertise, so that we make digital innovations available to firms. We are the only player on the market to have these three business lines and this fully end-to-end execution. Econocom also has the Galaxy, an original development model that offers customers the best of both worlds, the industrial firepower of the planet, as well as the agility and specialization of satellites. And Econocom has a strong DNA. We cultivate an entrepreneurial spirit, strong independence, pragmatism, values based on good faith, boldness, and responsiveness. Our DNA is also founded on our ability to reinvent ourselves, to innovate with our customers' needs, and bring efficient and pragmatic solutions. Econocom's history is a history of successful transformation and growth. I intend to carry on with my team against this direction with a clear ambition to turn our group into the leader in quality of use for digital in firms. So we have to invest in the first year of a strategic plan in our delivery tools and processes and also in our offering. This acceleration and the group's transformation will have an impact on short-term profitability, but I'm convinced that it's essential to continue on our profitable growth path. Now, let's look at the results of H1. As I said, we're a growth company, and we're still proving that in H1 with organic growth of close to 4% and overall growth of 13%. Our recurring operating profit is down compared to last year, which led us to change our guidance. David Krief will come back to it in a minute. Last but not least, our debt is under control. Our ratios are still very healthy at 2.4 times EBITDA, and we've launched initiatives to improve our cash flow generation. I will now give the floor to David, who will give you more details about the results. Over to you, David.
Thank you, Robert. Good morning, everyone. I'll share with you the results for the first half of FY18, first with the group-wide results, sales, and profit, and then I'll look at details per activity, and I'll wrap up with our debt trajectory. During H1, the group grew by 12.8%, 3.8% of which organically to reach 1,139 billion euros. This growth resided on growth across all areas, with distribution 40.7%, 6.7% of which organically, growth in services by 19.4%, 4.8% of which organically, and also growth in TMF 1.8%. All of that was achieved, as you know, organically. Regarding profits, we recorded profits that were down by 24 million euros compared to the same period last year. This decline led our result to be 34.2 million euros, and it split as follows: mostly for TMF with a profit of 14.1 million euros versus 13.1 million euros last year. Services grew slightly, 15 versus 14.6. Products and solutions slightly down, 5.1 versus 5.5 million euros. Now, to look at details of the TMF business, our revenues in the first quarter were down by 6% after a last quarter of 2017, which, as you know, was quite exceptional in the history of Econocom, 28% growth. TMF returned to its usual growth in Q2 with 9% growth in Q2. This growth helped us deliver growth for the whole half year of 1.8%, but it was too late compared to what we had in mind. ROP was 14.1 million euros, so 24 million euros less than last year. 9 million euros of that is due to provisions, and 15 million of that is due to several factors, mostly for top line. First of all, contracts that we were designed in June for over 4 million euros that were eventually signed later in July. Also, we had fewer big structured finance deals than we had last year, and also we had more new customers, so a bigger weight of new customers in TMF's sales than we had last year. These new customers are good news for the rest of the story because the profitability of a leasing portfolio is built up over time, but in the very short term, that was sort of detrimental to profit. The reason for which profitability is built up over time, as you know, is that customers mostly provide two points of relevance in rental: the rental of the asset itself and also the flexibility offered by a rental contract. This flexibility is used over time and remunerated over time, so it materializes once the contract, the portfolio, is already a few months or years old. Residual interest within TMF. I know that you care strongly about it. It's still at a low level, 154 million euros versus 141 last year, at the end of last year. So that's 2.6% of the original purchase price, which is in line with what we had last year. Coming back to TMF, we regularly say that TMF is a relatively volatile business quarter after quarter. There are cut-off effects that are fairly strong. However, rental over a longer period is a growing business, and that's been a constant. The graph behind me shows it. You can see the average growth for TMF on a rolling basis, 12 months rolling. You can see that this growth is always positive. There's also a positive signal in the fact that if you look at like-for-like growth, not over 12 but 24 months, growth was slightly negative in Q1 18. It's now back to growth. It's positive plus 2% over 24 months in Q2 18. Therefore, we've reached a turning point. Over to services. In services, we saw good growth, organic growth mostly driven by satellites. The planet grew by 1% organically, and satellites grew by 11%, which we're very happy about. But the profitability of services is not something that we're happy with right now. We had declining profit in 2017, and we can still see that there are some pressures when we renegotiate contracts, and that's something that Laurent Roudel will talk about in a minute. That's why we put an action plan in place with two objectives. First of all, reduce the cost base and also develop new offerings so that we are positioned on more growing segments of services. That's why Laurent accelerated the services transformation plan to bring it forward to H1 so that we can start seeing the effects in H2. For the products and solutions business, we had overall growth of 40.7%, and organic growth is still structurally strong on this market at 6.7%. I'll remind you that last year we had 9% organic growth on H1. Therefore, we gained market share with key accounts in the public sector, and we also diversified our equipment, the equipment that we distribute via this channel. Profit was slightly down. It doesn't reflect the organic growth and the overall growth I was talking about. There are multiple reasons for that. First of all, P&S invested and contributed to group investment in the development of new offers and the development of bundled mixes, as we call them, with other activities at products and solutions. Also, when we gain market share with key accounts, with the public sector, we gain market share in multi-year contracts, and we have the same rationale with different mechanisms as with rental. The profitability is built up over time, first because there's flexibility that is used during the contract, but also because there are back margins with vendors, OEMs, that also grow over time. The main gap that you can see between organic growth and overall growth is related to acquisitions that we did in full awareness of their profitability, just to acquire positions and so that we can grow these positions later. To sum up the consolidated income statement, as you can see, revenue as well as the recurring operating profit. You can see the net income with a decline in line with the decline of an ROP. And then an important item, non-recurring items, one-offs. This results in, this is the result of what I said earlier, the acceleration in the services transformation plan. One-offs rose to 20 million euros versus 10 million euros last year. For H2, we're expecting slightly less than 10 million euros more. Now let's look at debt. Debt at Econocom is traditionally very seasonal. Traditionally, in H1, debt is higher than it was at the end of the previous year. This year, we observed the same phenomenon, of course. Yet, there were some things that we see in a positive line. Seasonality was less marked than in previous fiscal years. That results in the WCR. The increase in WCR was 52 million euros. It was contained to 52 million euros, whereas last year it was 106 million euros. In 2016, it was also significantly higher than the 52 million euros that we observed in FY18. Debt was 395 million euros at 30 June, and so we can carry on investing within the planet and the satellites and also via acquisitions, all of that for 32 million euros for the beginning of the year. We also continued investing in TMF with 53 million euros in EDFL. This CapEx is, of course, something that we are very careful about in terms of risk. Our track record is there to show for it. But we also firmed up internal return requirements in order to make sure that we have the right level of free cash flow. Regarding financial debt on the other side of the mirrors, what we use to finance this debt, our debt is quite sustainable. It's 2.4 times EBITDA over 12 months, a level that we consider is quite comfortable. Within this debt, we have 260 million out of 395, which is of a slightly different nature because this debt is backed by rental contracts. To match this debt, you've got rents. Of course, there's always counterparty risk, but the rents will come and naturally repay this 260 million euro in debt. Leases, rents are, as always, in any rental activity, they're secured by assets that we have. Our major deadlines for debt are in 2020 with 45 million euros and 2021 with 137 million euros. No refinancing maturity for the next few years. And also, we have a robust finance capacity, 230 million euros in credit lines that remain undrawn, of course, with Tier 1 financial institutions, of which 140 million euros confirmed. Therefore, our situation is quite robust so that we can deliver on our year-end guidance and so that we can carry on with the strategic work highlighted by Robert. And I'll throw it over to Robert to talk about the action plan.
En effet,
absolutely. We are giving the highest priority to our success in the second half. We're going to be telling you about the measures that we'll be rolling out to achieve our goals, and David Krief will be coming in giving you a rundown of our cost-cutting operations in the short term and also our cash initiatives. Laurent Roudil, who heads up services in France, will then come in and give you an update on his transformation program. Eric Lucas, who heads up TMF France, will be shedding some light on some of the opportunities for his activity. Martin Bayens will be showing you some of the new transversal offering, and then I will wrap up with some of our M&A policy. So now I'll give the floor back to David for our cost-cutting operations. It's me again. So from the very first half of 2018, we implemented cost-cutting measures that are effective on two levels. Group-wide cost-cutting measures, so structural cost-cutting measures, and then we also have things that we've implemented in each business unit, which leads to 10 million euros in savings for the second half of 2018. Group-wide, these savings will be at the level of 3.5 million euros in gross savings. This will be based on a in-depth reworking of our cost structure, which has enabled us to optimize a number of things, be it through reducing expenses, communication costs and investment that was no longer relevant, and also cutting of staff when it was necessary. But this has also been achieved through a rework of the structure of the group itself within the units. We've encouraged the growth of some units that we've then been able to reintegrate into the business units themselves. And this is therefore more relevant to the business unit rather than the group as a whole. We've also made cost-cutting measures effective within the business units themselves. The results of this for the second half should be 6.5 million euros in gross savings. 50% of these gross savings come from services, and the other half comes from other business units. This is related to cutting operational costs, such as sales teams, travel, HR, finance costs. And we've also undergone a review of the project so we could achieve savings where that was possible. Laurent will mention that later. And of course, the cutting of non-essential marketing initiatives. We've looked at the projects themselves so we could concentrate on the most profitable among them. We continue to be very wary of our cost to achieve further savings as time goes forward for 2018 and also 2019. These short-term cost-cutting measures should enable you to invest and to pursue your goals while also helping us achieve our 120 million euro target of savings. We also have initiatives to secure our cash generation. These are based on two major things, one of which is iconic to Econocom. First of all, WCR, of course, you know this because it is relevant to all companies. We've got short and medium-term initiatives, short-term initiatives such as the implementation of new follow-up and monitoring tools to monitor WCR variation, which enables each financial officer to be able to see how they can contribute to cash generation, what initiatives have enabled them in the past to optimize their WCR, and share this amongst various committees that we've created across the group so we can spread best practice across our regions and business units. This good practice has started to bear fruit in the first quarter of 2018, and we have seen a favorable variation in WCR, more favorable than over the last FYs. We are looking at an inflow of WCR compared to the end of the financial year 2017. We will be reviewing and re-examining the way we work with our partners, with our suppliers. We'll be looking at the clauses we have with our clients as well to make sure that we have the most optimal system possible by going ever further into our model. Something new for 2019 will be the invoicing on the profit and loss accounts, the WCR at WACC cost, to make sure that we have aligned WCR with our cash generation. The second thing is a little more specific to Econocom, the EDFL, on-book financing, so things that will bear fruit in the future. In the very short term, we have looked at our entire internal portfolio so that we can sell off a large share of our outstanding credit. Now we better understand our credit, we can sell it, but we could also sell it with insurance as we've created a tighter relationship with our banking partners, which means we can get a number of things off our balance sheet. We've also looked at structured financing based on EDFL, but that will generate less debt over the second half. And finally, we have increased the IRR of deals. In the medium term, we are looking to change our financing clauses for structured financing deals. I talked about credit insurers, but we're also working with other banking partners to make sure that these transactions can be run through EDFL, but also other financial partners. These transactions on new assets with new contracts have a track record that enable us to further refinance larger shares of these transactions with our normal partners. I'd now like to give the floor to Laurent Roudil, who is the Director General for Services in France. Laurent. Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to see you all back here 6 months on. I know that I've been able to speak with some of you in March when we had our Q&A session. I'm going to be introducing myself for those of you who don't know me yet. I joined Econocom in January 2015. My first assignment within Econocom was to create a key account committee over my first 3 years, and then the group offered me the opportunity to take up French services at the beginning of 2018, and I was delighted to accept the offer. I used to be the Director General of BT in France, and I had spent a number of years with Capgemini beforehand, where I headed up public services, energy utilities, and industry. I was the head of sales for commerce and partnerships at French level by the end of my career at Capgemini. As Robert and David have explained, we do have a number of ongoing projects for services in France. We've got a lot of transformation projects that have been ongoing for the last 9 months. My first decision was on organization. We decided to have a single management structure for services in France, down from the two that we used to have. There were three goals to this, the first of which was to simplify governance. The second goal of this change was to use this new dynamic to create a new team. To this end, I recruited 80% new members from outside of Econocom to the management board, mainly from other DSPs in France. And the third goal was to enable us to centralize some functions, pre-sales, marketing, but also purchasing. And this has enabled us to ramp up the speed of our transformation projects and to better match our strategic roadmap. We are at a forecast of 1.5% on turnover compared to the 450 million we had in 2017, but our priority is to increase profitability. We're looking at a margin of above 2%, and on the projects that we'll be presenting, a majority of them are based on this long-term profitability change. Regarding headcount, we took a decision to reduce our headcount by 5% in France. And also, alongside that decision, we decided to hire engineers to increase our added value in our market position. And thirdly, we're going to use this shared dynamic to achieve better proximity with our staffers, middle management more specifically, with whom we are working to do training and other onboarding processes, because they are at the core of what we do for engineering and management. Now, the business transformation. We launched 30 projects. I summarized them and wrapped them up into six different categories. The first category is the sharing of our resources across business lines. Our non-Paris clients had asked us to have better efficiency in our sales delivery. Therefore, I decided to combine management and infrastructure functions to increase our management and delivery agility. I also decided to coordinate recruitment in a centralized way to focus our recruitment on engineer job positions and also new hires to lower our costs and therefore to lower the average age. Our second strategy is on the offering. There is a pricing strategy at play here, as we've been very honest about. So we're looking at projects to increase the speed of our go-to-market and to use that position to increase our profit margins. We have also decided to be very cautious about our dilutive offering. We are being very selective about those as well. And thirdly, and this is key to increasing profit margins, we are opening ourselves up to the know-how within the rest of the group to be able to offer bundles for service financing, but also overall support when customers want an end-to-end turnkey solution. Thirdly, we have our mid-market focus. Now, traditionally, we have mid-market customers for long-distance management and infrastructure. And this is important for a number of reasons. First of all, we have strong national presence. This is a great asset for us, for customers who want to have close proximity with their point of contact. Our national presence is a great way to meet that need. Secondly, we're also present on markets where our ability to support our customers from end to end is very strong. We're seeing this through our upstream support for their digital transformation projects, but also through the mid and follow-up stages. We have great capacity for our offering at regional level. Thirdly, these are clients who are loyal and want to create real partnerships with us. That means we need single points of contact that follow them over a long period of time. That is why our decision to create regional directors meets that need directly. Our fourth chapter of changes is related to the service centers. We took a number of decisions changing them, the first of which was to close the Madrid International Center to refocus on our very dynamic offshore centers that has high quality. I'm, of course, referring to Econocom Morocco. We also streamlined the number of service centers we have in France. We have a center of gravity in Grenoble. And we also decided to have one single offering for all of our front office, back office model. Because as we know in this business, it's not about front or back office, but rather the combination of skills based on a business model that actually has added value for our clients when you include the Morocco Center. Our fifth category is very traditional for our business. It's the way we handle dilutive contracts. We have inventoried our financially challenging contracts, and then we did works on sales and also on the underlying services to renegotiate these contracts. This is important as it shows our strategic desire to improve our quality of service, because generally, when QoS is good, clients are willing to pay more and are willing to enter a more long-term partnership rather than just being seen as a subcontractor because of the prices. The second dynamic we created was to decrease the share of subcontracting, because combining the three business lines has enabled us to better share the workloads, to create better contracts, to be more agile, across the business lines to better meet the medium and short-term requirements of our clients. So this again plays into the improvements of our profit margins, which is our main goal, improving profit margins for the contracts. On cost reduction, David has already mentioned a lot of our initiatives. As it stands, we are keeping a very close eye on our cross-cutting measures, daily almost, to reduce some costs related to, for example, expenses, subcontractors for commodities. And thanks to our lowered average age, we've been able to draw down costs by using more junior staff rather than more senior staff. We're seeing an overall trend where by improving our costs and our profit margins, we're able to improve quality of service. So we've got daily savings that we're able to achieve on contracts and services. To summarize, back in March, I said that I was confident on our ability to bounce back on service profitability. And with the launch of these 30 projects that were favorably received internally and by our clients, both of these are important because these projects can only be successful in the short and medium term if our 6,000 staffers are fully on board with the project. So a warm reception for these changes. We are continuing to push the proximity management style. We've been doing this for 8 months. We're starting to see the first effects, which further encourage us to push forward and help set the trend. Services are being more and more fully integrated into the business lines of the group as a whole with the planets and satellites, and this enables us to create a strong customer presence, especially where our presence has been historically low, such as mid-market. Thank you. I would like to give the floor to Eric Lucas, Director General for TMF France. Good morning, everyone. I've been given 10 minutes or so to explain to you how our activity, technology management and finance is a great opportunity for the group with new markets that are just waiting for our presence through a number of growth drivers that I'll be explaining. Leasing activities has been around for a long time within our group. And we are going to be undertaking a number of projects to increase our value offering to our clients. That's a standalone TMF objective, but we must remember that we are part of a group that has a guiding light that involves the contribution of satellites from a strategic standpoint, and we also have involvement and cooperation that we can further leverage with them to create more added value for our customers. Now, TMF is a standalone, so in its core business, what are the four major projects that we have undertaken to bounce back and have internal growth? We have expertise that we need to further leverage. The data that we have on our relationship with our customers, so their processes, their equipment, their usage, and their infrastructure, is data that has value. We've launched an offering, which is called Mars, which aims to share that data with our clients to help better inform their decisions for their strategies, for the projects that they need to undertake, and for the usage patterns that they want for their infrastructure and their clients. We're also seeing an increased requirement for hyper-availability for assets for users. The guarantees and support that we need for our customers needs to be ever better because none of you here today would even conceive not having full-time access to their smartphone and their digital assets. We have more than 1 million assets under management, and we are able to benefit from the headspace created by the circular economy to give longer lifespans to our assets. We want to fully leverage the life cycle of our assets, and today we are seeing across the retail space and across the professional space the emergence of the demand for assets that are not first-hand use, but they have extra added value. The lifespan of our leased assets is becoming greater. We have more than 200,000 sales per year that we handle on a bundle base, but in the future we would like to handle them on an individual segmented basis using digital tools and platforms. This would enable us to sell at much higher value per unit than what we currently use. That's a lot of money. There are also new opportunities that are opening up, and we are broadening our portfolio thanks to expertise that we are currently developing and will continue to develop through investment. We have medical, we have green and energy, for which we have an ability to provide counseling to our customers on their management of their bills and costs, and also industrial and robotics. We can leverage new emerging technologies, and we are willing to commit to support our customers and to create value with them. For the last 3 years, we've been talking about structured finance. That is what brought us into industry and robotics, and this enables us to work with our customers in areas beyond just digital and IT. There is oversight for industrial sites and other things which enable us to work with customers on new periods of time and to sign very good contracts with them. Thirdly, Econocom has expertise and know-how. These skills as a financial partner can be used for the service to the benefit of many players. You could not consider this kind of financial model without proper support. We are very careful of our churn rate and the new customers. They should be considered milk you're making sure isn't boiling over. Our customers want their go-to-market to improve and their customer relation to improve, and that requires our leasing activities and our financing offering, and that requires a long-term partnership. We will be the builders of the relationship across those three levels, and we will be offering as a service rental contracts to support our customers' client relations. We have a B2B model, but today we have salespeople that will be supporting our partners and small companies in their own business relationships. Of course, our skills are also related to our cost management and our client relations. Today, this will be centered around a dematerialized, zero-touch approach. We're already working with digital contracts, that's one thing, but in the future, we want our clients to be handling their relationship with Econocom in a way that enables them to manage a number of their own processes, managing their invoicing, their product intake, management of the contract in a real-time and transparent way for their relationship with Econocom. We've got our customer satisfaction program that will enable us to measure the implementation of the program with our customers. And we also have our customer journey program to monitor our relationships with our tools and customers. Now, TMF is a standalone, but it is also part of the Econocom strategy as a whole. as we have the specificity of bringing together the three business lines. Our services will be made available to our organization and our satellites. We need to transform the way we work with our customers, and our sister business lines will also be able to use TMF expertise. We also have bundle and end-to-end solutions that are being requested by our customers, as they want now to be able to have a single point of responsibility and contact for the management of all of their digital and IT resources. This solution, this know-how, has been integrated into the Econocom TMF architecture, where we have an investment structure that is being transformed into a pay-as-you-go system with segmented invoicing for our clients for better understanding and transparency with our clients. For the products and solutions within Econocom, we have a number of synergies which are operational in nature. Distribution, EPS is one of our main suppliers at TMF, for example. Our relationship can be digitized and optimized. Our operational relationships can be streamlined and bundled as well. We are all present from ordering to delivery and invoicing. And that means that our back offices have ways to work together. Furthermore, 55% of the turnover comes from the public sector. This is a great source of inspiration for us, as it enables us to rebalance the risks that can be taken on by the lessee and also their leeway that's afforded to them. This is a field in which we continue to invest, and alongside EPS, thanks to the sales force of EPS and their presence with the public sector partners, we'll be able to align our offering. The turnover created by EPS will be a single sales figure consolidated with TMF, and the consolidation of our business will significantly contribute to the development of Econocom as a whole. So this transversal way of working, contributing to our own ecosystem and to the Econocom ecosystem, is a major challenge for the transformation of TMF. I'd now like to invite Martin Bayens to the stage. He is Director General of the Satellites and Transversal Offerings for Econocom. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning, everyone. We've already heard a lot of talk about offerings and transversality, and as you know, we have multiple offerings at Econocom across the business lines that we started to tally first, to take stock of. And so we're investing in the design of end-to-end solutions that relate to various technologies but also various industries. Our offers include the expertise of each BU, but also the satellites, as we've already referred to, and they include equipment, services, solutions, and finance. Since the beginning of the year, we've been launching a series of offers to provide value to our customers. I'll start with the Mars offering that Eric talked about in passing, which is a big data offer, which includes the management of corporate data. With it, we'll be able to have a single approach that can be articulated in terms of device use and solutions, and all that can be as a pay-per-use solution. We launched that just before the summer. We already have two proofs of concept underway, and the pipeline is growing because we present that offer to all of our big customers, including all companies on the French index. Our Econocom Mobility offer was launched at the beginning of the year, and
it brings together multiple mobility offers by the satellites and the planet to really offer a 360-degree offering to meet mobility needs for our clients, both the tablets that they use, but also the logistical blue-collar aspects of use in firms. We are the leader in France, one of the leaders in France, with over 150 million euros in sales, and we are turning that into an as-a-service by design offering by bringing together devices, service, and funding. The Microsoft offer was launched just before the summer, bringing together and organizing all of the planet's expertise in this area, but also that of our satellite Infini. And with we want to launch it with that single brand Infini and leverage all the opportunities offered by the Microsoft offer, especially the Windows 10 migration. And we want to become the French leader in the next few months. This is something that we'll probably tell you more about in the future. More topical, the education offering that my colleagues talked about, with revenues of over 100 million euros in education, for instance, with the provision a few days ago of tablets to over 173 middle schools in the south of France. There were over 55,000 tablets for young students in middle schools. And all that was produced in a service centers at a record speed with record organization. In the next few quarters, we'll still invest in various offers, and there I'll focus on two offers that we've been developing from abroad. Not everything starts from France. That also includes the rest of the world. There's the retail offering that's developed from Spain, simply because in Spain we've got three satellites that offer solutions in the world of retail, from POS hardware to the provision of marketing, digital marketing services to bring customers to the point of sale, but also to build loyalty. Those are our satellites GigiGo, Altabox, and Caverin. This is an offer that will be launched in the next few weeks in Spain, and then we'll offer it at the end of the year to big retail groups in this country. Another offer that I wanted to focus on is the smart building offering that started in Spain, so that we can offer the latest IoT technology in buildings. And so for that, we're using the new Econocom buildings called Econocom Village in Milan. And so that orchestrates all of our expertise to offer a unique experience to our employees and clients visiting our premises. And also with that, we can offer new services, new billing modes, so that you can bill per square meter. And that's something that we hope to distribute in France very shortly. All of these offerings are going to become international. Offer by offer, we'll look at the development potential in each country, and this is what is going to keep us busy in the next few months and years. Thank you, and now I'll throw it back to Robert, who's going to talk about M&A. Thank you, Martin. As you'll have understood, these offers address either technical verticals that are complex, where that we have to implement for our clients so that we can make innovation available, or business verticals like retail or real estate and also education, but a different type of segmenting the way we show ourselves to the business so that we speak the same language as our customers, and that way we can connect more between digital innovations and what we can offer them with a financial model based on use. Over to M&A. M&A contributes to the group strategy along two axes. First, the deployment of our offers in Europe and investment in high value-added segments. Over the last 18 months,
We've invested in our main countries with targeted acquisitions. In the first half of the year, we acquired Altabox in Spain, a great company in omni-channel marketing solutions, mostly working especially in the world of retail. BDF in Italy for a distribution and managed services activity. I'll now wrap up this presentation with a reminder of the key aspects of our yearly guidance. Today, we are confirming our goal of 100 million euros in recurring operating profit over 2018. We make it an absolute priority that we succeed in the second half. We are fully focused on this goal. We will leverage the cost reduction efforts and the transformation efforts that were initiated, and will focus specifically on cash management. This will create the foundation for our future profitable growth. I wanted to thank you for your attention.